Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our study of St. Matthew from exile back home, the Savior's birth, wise men from the East, worship of the King, and flight into Egypt. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
I hold this letter here in my hand, a plea, a petition, a kind of prayer. I hope it does.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to go through listener email. That email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Well, Jeff, are you glad that the Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case conference is behind us this year? It was pretty difficult to pull it off, not when we actually got there, but just keeping the thing alive until we could pull it off was kind of difficult.
Yes, you're talking about all the preparation in advance. Yeah, the actual conference was...
Oh, the conference was a breeze, but the getting to that point where we could do that with so many changes and adjustments was... You were working your tail off on that one.
Yeah, but boy, Concordia University of Chicago, they pulled it. They're the real heroes. They pulled it off.
Absolutely.
First-class production.
It's one of those things where you and I would usually worry about how it sounds, you know, how it's going to be, the programmatics of it. None of that did we have to worry about. We just had to stand in the right place when the guys told us to do it and do the rest of our job. So it was fantastic that way.
Yeah, thanks again to Tim Weir, Jim Kaczynski, Rob Glinke at Concordia University Chicago. And thanks for everybody who registered. Over 704 people registered for the conference. And if people are well aware, it sold out more than 3 months in advance with the limit of 500. But I think we still accepted about 525 or 530 when we're going to have an in-person conference. Sold out more than 3 months in advance, but thanks be to God, even more people were exposed to the conference. So thanks again, though, for Concordia University of Chicago and the trifecta of Tim Weir, Jim Kaczynski, and Rob Glinke. Did a great job.
They absolutely did. I mean, we've worked with them now 2 years running, and I thought I was impressed the first year, but I'm even more impressed this year.
And it will be available, if you didn't register, for a suggested donation of $250 once we get everything posted and figure out how to do all that. We've never done a video of the conference from start to finish like we did this time. But it will be available. The video will be available on demand, as well as the audio-only files will be available for a suggested donation of $250. And stay tuned. We'll let you know when it becomes available. How about you? Do you recover?
Yeah, I can finally sleep and not wake up at 4:30 in the morning, although I did wake up at 4:30 in the morning this morning, but that was for different reasons. I can finally sleep and not think, is this going to work? I was having pre-conference fever dreams in the days leading up to it. I was just thinking, how is this going to work? Because we'd never done it before. So I was very happy with the conference. We always enjoyed doing it. The speakers were fantastic. But it's nice not to have to worry about it in the dark hours of the night.
Well, let's begin with some criticism about the conference. Paul writes, I and the other people who were watching the virtual conference were rather disappointed that the Mark and Molly Hemingway presentation was actually a Q&A. Why was this not advertised previously? Thanks for the feedback, Paul.
We had always planned for it to be a Q&A. We've had both Mark and Molly speak and do their own presentations at previous conferences. And when we saw them do their presentations, Jeff and I both said those were fantastic. But what's even better, and that's why I introduced them the way I did, as good as they are on their own, they're even better when they're together. I said, how do we do this together? We can't put them both at a podium kind of doing a call and answer. let's just put them at a table and take the conference questions. And we'd always planned to do that. What we did was we didn't make that clear in the advertising. You're quite right. We should have said a Q&A on Christian citizenship with Mark and Molly Hemingway. If you listen to the questions, though, they are dealing with all their matters of expertise. That's why we have them come and speak. But they're also excellent ways to engage with the media, engage with the politics that you got from both of them in their answers to those questions.
Marcy also writes in regards to the conference, what is the central theme?
We never have a theme for the conference. The only theme there is that bare bones making the case either for or against. And we chose that because it's easy to plug topics into that. It also has an apologetic sound to it. So, we tacked onto that early when we decided to do these conferences. What are we going to call the conference? We don't want to just call it the Issues Etc. Conference. That tells people nothing. But making the case kind of fits with our apologetic bent. It also allows us, as I said, to plug in different topics and experts into that. So there's never a theme. Really, don't try to discern any theme in what we do. If we do a theme, we'll tell you, like Reformation Week, you know, Heroes of the Reformation, we'll tell you what the theme is. But if you don't hear us tell us what the theme is, there's no theme. Especially with this conference, because we were switching out topics and guests almost last minute due to COVID.
The conference is a real live, in most cases, face-to-face version of the show.
Yeah.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. So, but there's never going to be a theme. We try to cover expansive topics, lots of topics.
And the topics usually then are chosen according to the guest that or the presenter that we want to speak. We want to play into their strengths. So that's how the topics get chosen.
Another conference remark, Bill writes, I know it may be premature, but has a date been set for next year's Making the Case conference? Any jump I can get in putting in a vacation request?
Well, I think we do have a tentative date, and it by tentative means that Jeff's going to move heaven and earth to make sure that it happens on that date, but we can't guarantee you right now until when we announce it will be that date, God willing. But what's the tentative date, Jeff?
Friday, June 11th and Saturday, June 12th at Concordia University, Chicago in 2021.
And it will be in person. I can't say that without qualification, God willing. It'll be in person, and it'll have that limit of 500 attendees again.
Krista, during the conference, she wrote to the Mark and Molly Hemingway, we are grateful for your presentation this morning. So many of us were looking forward to seeing you in person. Will you both come back to a future conference when we are all able to gather again? Thanks for the email, Krista.
I think we have confirmed Mark and Molly Hemingway for 2021. Is that right, 2021? Am I getting my years correct? Yeah, we've confirmed them for that summer. And believe you me, Molly told me several times in the course of the conference how disappointed she was that she couldn't come and see people. She really wanted to see Issues Etc. and talk with Issues Etc. listeners. So she's as anxious as you are to return to that circumstance.
Dick resides in Grand Island, Nebraska. He said, Dear Pastor Wilkin, thank you for the presentation by Pastor Paul McCain on the doctrine of election and the solid declaration. I agree that the Bible, especially Ephesians chapter 1, teaches that all credit goes to God for each person who is saved and that those who reject the gospel are lost through their own fault. My question has to do with persons who have never heard the gospel, possibly because the Bible is not available in their language, or because they live in such a remote location that the word has never reached them, such as Native Americans prior to the arrival of Columbus. Are they still lost to their own fault? Is their condemnation lessened due to their lack of hearing the word? I'm thinking of Jesus' statement that the judgment will be worse for Capernaum because they had a greater opportunity to hear the word than others who lived at an earlier time in a different location. Thanks for the email and thanks for listening in Nebraska, Dick.
First of all, Dick, I think you're onto something with that connection to Jesus' words there. We cannot say anything beyond what Jesus says. He simply says, woe to Capernaum and these other cities. Their fate will be, their judgment will be less than Tyre and Sidon and Sodom and Gomorrah because they didn't witness the things, those older cities did not witness the things that these cities had, namely the coming of Christ. So he is saying something about that, but we can't go beyond or speculate as to what he means in particular. We leave these things to God. What do we say certainly, and what do we leave to God? We leave to God the question of what about the person who never had the opportunity because they lived on a remote island in the middle of the Pacific and the gospel never reached them. We leave that to God. But we do not use that to say, well, God somehow is planning to save people apart from Christ. There is no word of God whatsoever that gives us any indication that God intends to save anyone apart from Jesus Christ, apart from hearing the message of Jesus' death and resurrection for them. Did Jesus die for them? Absolutely. So this is one of those cases where we say what Scripture says, and then when Scripture stops talking, we stop talking too. We don't speculate. We don't say, well, maybe this or maybe that. That's called speculation. We do not speculate beyond what God's word clearly says. Can someone be saved apart from the gospel? Scripture says, no, there is no salvation apart from the gospel. It's the only means of salvation. What about those people who never had the opportunity to hear the gospel? Well, we have to say on the basis of Scripture that they are lost eternally. But can we say that with absolute certainty that God does not in some way give them an opportunity? We just don't know. We do know that God desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, but that truth is in Jesus Christ and Him alone. So we just let Scripture do its talking, and then when it stops talking, we stop talking too. When we come back, more listener email on the Issues Etc. comment line, talkback at issuesetc.org or 618-223-8382.
Lonely days are gone, I'm a going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. I don't care how much money I gotta spend, got to get back to my baby again. Lonely days are gone, I'm a going home. My baby just wrote me a letter.
Did you know that for over 40 years, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod ministries with low-cost loans and resources? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Because of faithful investors like you, we've been able to help church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations. To learn how you can get involved, call 800-843-8233.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The COVID-19 pandemic has caused many Christians to ask about whether or not the government should be telling the church when and how to gather around our Lord's gifts. In the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness, the Reverend Christopher Thoma takes up this question in his article titled Executive Orders, Divine Command. To read this excellent article and more about the church's life in the midst of a pandemic, subscribe to the Lutheran Witness today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective, cph.org/witness.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll study the hymn, Thy Strong Word, with Pastor Will Whedon. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line on this Tuesday afternoon.
Here's an email from Dennis. Dear Pastor, in your super secret studio compound, within the past 30 days or so, you had a discussion about the use of grape juice for communion. At the time, I was in 100% agreement with the non-use of grape juice until I spoke with a pastor much smarter than myself. Now, I'm confused. He says that unfermented grape juice is still the fruit of the vine, Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 22. While he prefers wine, he says juice can be used. When Passover occurs, there are no fresh grapes to squeeze for juice. During the time of Christ, did they add yeast to the juice or simply let the natural bacteria on the grape skins to start fermentation? Thanks for listening, Dennis, and thanks for the email.
Answer your last question first. No, they did not add yeast in order to start fermentation because at that time, they did not know what yeast was. Yeast is, after all, microscopic. They couldn't see yeast. They knew that something existed to leaven bread and to cause these things, but they didn't manipulate it. It occurred naturally. The way that they would yeast bread was they would have bread that had already begun to ferment. That's what fermentation in bread is. So to rise, and then they would save that, and that would be what they would add. It was a starter that they would add, but they didn't know about yeast. They didn't know yeast existed. Yeast actually wasn't discovered until what? Golly, the invention of the early microscope. So then people said, they knew that something was happening, but they didn't know what was happening. So that's the answer to the first question or the last question there. I want to take issue with your pastor's reasoning here. It sounds sound, but it really isn't. And let me explain why. Essentially, his argument is that unfermented grape juice and wine are the same thing. That's what his argument is. If they can be substituted for one another, then he's asserting that they are the same thing under the category of fruit of the vine. The problem with that argument is that it proves too much. There are other things that could be called fruit of the vine. If grape juice and wine are the same thing because they're both fruit of the vine, then we would say the wine and vinegar are the same thing because they're both fruit of the vine. Vinegar is just wine that has been consumed by a different kind of bacteria producing lactic acid instead of alcohol. You could say that wine and brandy are the same thing because brandy is simply wine that they have distilled. You could say that wine and grapes are the same thing because they're both fruit of the vine, right? Or raisins or currants. Those are all fruit of the vine, aren't they? See, it's proving too much. There is even a brand of vodka, Cyrix vodka, that is made entirely from grapes because you can make vodka from anything. There's also, grape seed oil. People rub that on their skin or they consume it. There's even grape syrup. It was even known in the ancient world. The Romans would take wine and boil it down until it was a syrup. And then they would use it to preserve meat. They would add it to other wine to kind of bolster it. Now, why not grape syrup? So his argument that grape juice and wine are the same thing because they're both fruit of the vine proves too much. It allows you to substitute vinegar, brandy, grapes, raisins, or currants, vodka, if it's the right brand of vodka, grapeseed oil, or even grape syrup. Now, your pastor would never permit the substitution of those things for wine and communion. So I simply ask, why would he permit the substitution of grape juice for wine in communion when Christ's institution involved wine, not grape juice?
This is Paul in Milwaukee supplementing Dr. Alvin Schmidt's good July 27th presentation on the Amish. I teach a basic Pennsylvania colonial land division of English on the coast, good German farmers in mid-PA, and Scotch-Irish Indian barriers on the western frontier. My direct Amish credentials are riding in mentioned Holmes County, Ohio, dodging Amish buggies at hilltops where doubtless graven image-fearing Amish covered their faces when photographed, and about 2 years in Geauga County, east of Cleveland, where my fiancé, then wife, taught well-behaved Amish in public schools, most of them named Hofstetter, along with Mennonites, or as popularly termed, the Yanked-Over Amish. My LCMS cousin in northeastern Indiana recently had experience with young Amish men, as mentioned on Issues, Etc., led into temptations, hired as remote from the flock, living highly skilled and paid carpenters who used, with or without bishop's approval, power tools. For those interested in Amish and modern American society, I strongly recommend a used DVD of the motion picture Witness that teaches and entertains, with Harrison Ford, a fictional account of the effects of Philadelphia police corruption impinging on Amish in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, where the movie was shot. The Ford and Kelly McGillis characters, in the end, can't bridge their religious-cultural gap. Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much for the comment as well. If you want to listen to that section that we did with Dr. Alvin Schmidt on the Amish, very informative and lots of good information on the Amish there, you can find it at our website, issuesetc.org, the Talk on Demand archives, issuesetc.org.
And remember, we're the summer months, I don't know, the comment line could use a little more activity.
Yeah, we're kind of in the doldrums here when it comes to comment line. So if you want to leave one of those tags, you can do that there at the comment line. If you have questions or comments, 618-223-8382.
And also for open themes.
Yes. You know,
I'm so-and-so.
Yeah, those
tags. I deliver
milk.
Yeah, yeah. Those are, we can definitely, although we did get a new submission today, but what's your vocation?
What are you doing while you listen?
While you listen, if possible, give us some natural sound.
618-223-8382.
This comes from Lois. She said, I just finished reading your Issues, Etc. journal article, The Real Worship Wars. It is brilliant. It not only answered questions in my own mind, but has now armed me with what I need to address those aggressors who have attacked me for being stuffy, despite my experience in American evangelicalism, who have asked me if the doctrine of my former church would have changed, would I have remained there? My answer was no. All the things evangelicals use, screens, videos, style of music, were all a huge distraction. Sadly, I have retreated and avoided further discussion. Your article needs to be revived and made part of pastoral training at the seminaries. Thanks again for equipping the saints, reaching the lost. Thank you for listening, Louise.
If you want to read that article, Behind the Music, The Real Worship War, I'll send it to you for free, todd@issuesetc.org. Here's something from the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for July. In his death on the cross, Jesus Christ's shed blood gives us ongoing forgiveness for the many ways we fail in our vocations. As many as our failings, so much greater is his forgiveness. The book is truly Christ-centered and cross-focused. It's called Callings for Life, God's Plan, Your Purpose. Find it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for July. Callings for Life, God's Plan, Your Purpose. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we're going to study the hymn Thy Strong Word with Pastor Will Whedon, and we'll discuss media coverage of religion with our good friend and journalist, Terry Mattingly. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Have you considered homeschooling your children, but wondered if you have the time or the expertise? If you live in the St. Louis Metro East, check out St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. We offer a classical Lutheran education for children pre-kindergarten through 8th grade. St. Paul Lutheran School is located just off of Interstate 55 in Hamel. Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. school.stpaulhamel.org.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.